Radio Prague News.
Education Minister Josef Dobesz has met with the Prime Minister to explain irregularities in EU-funded projects. The chairman of the Senate, Social Democrat Milan Škech, has said that most senators in his party will support a bill paving the way for direct presidential elections. And Czech emigre writer and founder of 68 Publishers, Josef Škvorecký, has died at the age of 87. Education Minister Josef Dobesz has met with Prime Minister Petr Nečas to explain irregularities in EU-funded projects that uncovered by auditors in Brussels. A week or so ago, auditors advised that all further payments from the Education for Competitiveness operational program be frozen until the matter was investigated and fully explained. The Education Ministry can draw the equivalent of up to 53 billion crowns from this source. In their meeting, Mr. Dobesz explained to the Prime Minister that the problem was a technical one, and he promised the matter would be rectified by April to avoid payments being cut. At a press conference, Mr. Dobesz also explained that only some of the problems were tied to the current administration, while others dated back to the previous government in 2008-2009. In addition to clearing up the situation, the Education Minister has been asked to maintain greater stability of personnel regarding the operational program. Recently, the ministry's fifth head of section in charge of EU funds resigned after just 8 days. Most Social Democrat senators will support a bill paving the way for direct presidential elections, Senate Chairman Milan Škech said after a traditional New Year's lunch he had with President Václav Klaus and Chamber of Deputies head Miroslava Němcová on Tuesday. Mrs. Němcová, however, said it was no secret that her party, the right-of-center Civic Democrats, was divided over the issue. In her view, the current system, which brings together both houses of parliament to elect the head of state, had produced two successful presidents, referring to Václav Havel, who died last month, and Mr. Klaus, who will complete his final term in office in early 2013. Mr. Škech said he believed the constitutional bill will be passed by the Senate if a majority of senators from other groups supported it as well, but his party holds a majority. Czech emigre author and founder of 68 Publishers, Josef Škvorecký, has died in Toronto at the age of 87. He had been suffering from cancer, the Canadian daily The Globe and Mail reported. Mr. Škvorecký, renowned for such works as The Cowards and The Engineer of Human Souls, left Czechoslovakia with his wife Zdena after the Soviet-led invasion in 1968 that crushed the Prague Spring. Together, they founded 68 Publishers in 1971 and published Czech books banned in his homeland, including works by Milan Kundera and dissidents like Václav Havel, who later became the Czech Republic's first president. Mr. Škvorecký's own work was also banned by the communist regime. The writer, who was survived by his wife, received the Governor General's Award in 1984. A new poll by the media research agency has suggested that a majority of Czechs, 83%, are worried a renewed economic crisis will hit the Czech Republic. Most, however, favor solutions affecting only some social groups, such as the rich, who they feel could be more heavily taxed, or civil servants, who could be laid off. Many of those queried rejected solutions, such as cuts into monthly pensions. According to the poll, 60% said they were putting savings aside. The results were published a day after the country's finance minister, Miroslav Kalousek, warned the Czech economy could contract by up to 2% in 2012, meaning the state budget could lose between 30 and 50 billion crowns. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up today, three Czechs detained in Zambia return home, apparently thanks to a covert operation of the Czech Secret Service. Then a boat full of flowers sailed down the river in a final tribute to the late Václav Havel. And later we look again at the life of Cardinal Josef Beran, a clergyman who stood up to the totalitarian regime. All that and more coming up, so please stay tuned. Three Czechs who were detained and charged with espionage in Zambia have returned home. They showed up unexpectedly at their doorsteps at the end of the year and have refused to disclose any information regarding the nature of their escape. The Czech Foreign Ministry, which made an all-out effort to secure their release through regular diplomatic channels, has put an information embargo on the case. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Jan Zofal, Jiří Cetl and Michal Weber, who work for a Dutch exhibition logistics company, were on a business trip to South Africa in early October when they decided to spend a few days in Zambia before returning home. It was a decision that was to change their lives. Shortly after arrival, they were caught taking photographs of an old Czechoslovak plane displayed outside a military base in Lusaka, detained and charged with espionage, an offence that carries a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison. A flurry of diplomatic activity ensued, in the course of which the Czech foreign minister repeatedly attempted to contact his Zambian counterpart. The Czech Republic tried to use its ambassador in neighbouring Zimbabwe as a liaison, but he too was not received. The Czech Republic eventually sent a special envoy to the country to assist with the case, and President Václav Klaus sent his Zambian counterpart a letter expressing his conviction that the men were innocent of the charges brought against them. By the end of November, there was still no progress on the case, except that the suspects had been released on bail pending a court hearing. Despite messages of reassurance from the Czech authorities that everything possible was being done, it was clear that the three men were in big trouble. Then, after a few days of silence, which frightened their relatives, they unexpectedly returned home without prior warning, even to their families. The Foreign Ministry and the country's intelligence services have refused to comment on the case, and Prime Minister Petr Nečas made it clear no information would be forthcoming.
I am relieved that our three nationals are safely back home, but whatever information I have about the case is strictly confidential.
Security experts say that the men were most likely smuggled out of the country on false passports or in a diplomat's vehicle. The use of a special commando would have attracted too much attention and is reserved for extraordinary circumstances. Information on such cases is strictly confidential in order to protect those involved and serve in similar incidents elsewhere. A Czech entomologist who mysteriously escaped from India, where he faced a severe prison sentence for collecting rare species 3 years ago, never admitted to having received any assistance from the secret services. Jiří Cetl, who believes that he and his friends were pawns in a war between Zambia's secret services, says that with hindsight it was rash to even unpack a camera in the country. The only statement he was willing to give the media was a warning to others.
Chtěl bych říct pro všechny lidi, kteří do těchto zemí cestují.
I just want to warn anyone who plans to travel to far-flung countries to find out as much as they can in advance about the country and its current political situation.
Opravdu vyhledali co nejvíc informací o té zemi.
The Zambian authorities have not commented on the men's disappearance, and to all accounts, the three Czech suspects will now be tried in absentia.
Daniela Lazarová reporting. Coming up next, over the past 3 weeks, the whole country paid its last respects to the late President Václav Havel. The many flowers and wreaths that people placed around his coffin took center stage at a silent farewell to the national hero. After traveling downriver for 3 days, the flowers were greeted by hundreds of people gathered at the Elbe River's banks in Děčín and dropped into the river. The unusual tribute was organized by former Human Rights Minister Michael Kocáb, a friend of the late president. Sara Borůvka reports.
About 1,500 admirers of Václav Havel awaited the arrival of a pontoon covered with flowers and wreaths from the late statesman's funeral. It had sailed down from Prague to Děčín along the Vltava and Elbe rivers in a three-day voyage that ended Monday afternoon. One woman in attendance said that as soon as she heard of this last silent tribute to the beloved former president, she decided to come to the river to greet the flower pontoon.
I immediately knew I had to go. Yes, it was a sort of last goodbye. We certainly appreciated everything he did for us, and it is very sad to see him go. He was someone who managed to remain a decent man, who simply was a good person.
Dozens of people accompanied the flowers on their way from the Czech capital's Rašín embankment, where Mr. Havel had lived for many years, to Děčín. Along the pontoon's route, people waved from the riverbanks, with some drivers honking their horns to greet the boat. The unusual flower-throwing tribute was organized by a close friend of Havel's, former human rights minister and musician Michael Kocáb, who said he was very happy with the outcome.
A lot of people were waiting for us all along the route. Here in Děčín it was over 1,000 people. I think the whole event was very dignified. It took us about an hour and a half to throw the flowers into the river, and they formed a nice carpet that covered the water for many kilometers. I think Václav Havel also would have appreciated that the event was quite informal.
Friends and colleagues of the late president, among them his former collaborator Martin Viechet, unbound the wreath so that only organic material would be thrown into the water. While this was perhaps the last symbolic farewell to Mr. Havel, who died on December 18th at the age of 75, Mr. Kocáb said that he is planning further events to keep his memory alive.
I have decided to call a meeting of all the old friends and collaborators of Mr. Havel, first of all, so that we can reminisce. And I would also like to use it as an opportunity to reflect on what we can do with his legacy, or rather what the Czech society can do with it.
In his last public appearance, the late president met with the Dalai Lama to sign an appeal asking the international community to support dissidents around the world. Now, his close friend František Janoch, founder of the Charter 77, has suggested to establish an international human rights award in Václav Havel's name, certainly a fitting way to pay respect to his ceaseless efforts to promote human rights.
Thank you, Sara Borůvka, for that. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, Archbishop and later Cardinal Josef Beran became a symbol of opposition to two totalitarian regimes. He was dubbed the Archbishop who refused to be silenced. The punishment for speaking out was imprisonment first under the Nazi occupation and then the communists. In this week's Czechs in History, Chris Johnstone looks at Josef Beran's exemplary life. Josef Beran was born into a poor Catholic family in Pilsen in 1888. His father was a teacher in the city's sole Czech school. Sometimes money was so short there was nothing to put on the table. Years later, Beran recalled reminding communist officials that he probably came from a much more miserable background than them. Josef was a talented student who was picked for the priesthood by his religious teacher at the local gymnasium. He had thought about studying medicine. Through his teacher's connections in Prague, Josef was sent in 1907 to the Czech College in Rome. He was ordained in 1911 and a year later was awarded his doctorate in theology. From 1917, he was professor and later director of a teaching institute in the centre of Prague. Though not a progressive, Beran marked himself out for his advanced beliefs on women's education. Jaroslav Šebek is an historian at the Czech Academy of Science.
His activity was mainly in the area of upbringing and education. And if we can use today's language, we could say that he was concerned with gender stereotypes, because he devoted himself to the role of women from a Christian viewpoint.
Beran also distinguished himself by his religious devotion, which began with prayers in church every morning at 4:30. In 1925, he was appointed director of all Catholic schools. In 1932, he was made the director of the Prague Diocese's main seminary. During that period, the seminary was roughly divided equally between German and Czech-speaking apprentice priests. As events outside ratcheted up tension, one of Beren's main tasks was to keep the peace inside its walls. He took the line that politics should stop at the gate of the seminary. It was a general line he tried later to maintain against those who tried to impose their political doctrines. The Nazis were the first of such-minded powers, after they took over what was left of the Czech state in March 1939. Beran was chosen in April 1941 to make the radio announcement about the death of Prague Archbishop Karel Kaspar. It was a high-risk mission which marked him out. When the acting Nazi ruler of Bohemia, Reinhard Heydrich, died following an audacious attack by Czechoslovaks parachuted in from Britain, Beran was one of the thousands rounded up by the Gestapo in June 1942. He counted himself lucky not to have been executed, along with around 2,300 others. Jaroslav Šebek again.
Důvodem zatčení Josefa Berana v době nacismu.
The reason for Josef Beran's imprisonment by the Nazis was his patriotic stance, which he displayed, for example, during his address on the radio to Czech listeners. He called for them not only to be true to their religious beliefs, but also to their country.
Beran ended up at the German concentration camp of Dachau on the outskirts of Munich, one of 122 Czechoslovak Catholic priests sent there. He was close to death at one point with typhus and later said every minute afterwards was a gift from God. Fellow camp inmates remembered his religious devotion, optimism and willingness to share his food with those less fortunate. On liberation in May 1945, Beran and the survivors, 76 Catholic priests died from their treatment, returned home in hastily adapted SS uniforms. There was nothing else for them to wear. One of the pressing tasks for the Catholic hierarchy was filling the post of Prague Archbishop, which had now been vacant for 4 years. Josef Beran was immediately seen as a likely candidate who could bring prestige to the church and counter the rising communist influence.
On byl vnímán jako hrdina.
He was perceived as a hero, as a person who took part in the anti-Nazi resistance. He was crowned with glory as a victim of Nazi persecution. I would say that for the Vatican, this was a major factor.
Toto bral významně v úvahu.
The appointment as head of the Czechoslovak Church took effect in November 1946. Archbishop Beran was fully aware that the anti-Catholic Communist Party was setting the agenda in the National Front government. Punitive measures began even before the communist seizure of power in February 1948.
Už v tom období před rokem 1948
already before 1948, for example, the Communist Party ministers tried to exclude the church from the field of education and schooling and tried to make all schools state schools. This did not succeed, but they also pushed through land reform, which again reduced church property before 1948. And they also took steps to curb church publications on the grounds that there was a shortage of paper after the war.
Chyběl například papír na vydávání tiskovin.
After the seizure of power, there was a sort of standoff between the two sides. Mr. Šebek again.
Řekl bych, že to byl vlastně stále klid před bouří, protože.
It was the calm before the storm. The communists were trying negotiations in order to buy time so that they could prepare for their main assault on the Catholic Church. And it is true that the church then did not know how the communists would act. Beran hoped to win time to prepare for the possible attack.
Samozřejmě předpokládal útok.
A series of negotiations began, but the communists wanted to tame the Catholic Church, which they identified as the only real challenger to their power. Postponed moves to bring Catholic schools under state rule were pushed through, as were further seizures of church property. The communists demanded a clear declaration of loyalty from the church, but Beran was not willing to give that endorsement. The communists' final card was the attempt to create their own subservient church.
Důvodem zatčení a internace.
The reason for the arrest and internment of Archbishop Beran was his stand on the attempt by the communists to split the church by using collaborators, both from the ranks of priests and laypeople. The so-called Catholic Action Movement was aimed at serving communist goals by creating a schism in the Catholic Church, as occurred in 1920 when the Czechoslovak Church was founded. That did not happen, mainly because Beran very courageously called on believers to stay loyal to Catholic principles.
Katolické věrouky.
Archbishop Beran began reading out a declaration denouncing Catholic action in St. Vitus's Cathedral on June 19, 1949. He was able to read the first sentence before his words were drowned out by secret police agitators packed into the cathedral. He returned to the Archbishop's palace to find a handful of officers waiting for him. It was the start of a 16-year regime of house arrest and imprisonment at various sites around the country.
He had to live under unrelenting daily police supervision. He was not allowed to move freely about. He was only allowed the company of nuns who cared for his domestic needs. Otherwise, there was no possibility of contact with the outside world. He was basically surrounded by the state police. In the end, they tried to take advantage of that situation by trying to discredit Archbishop Beran by putting aphrodisiacs in his food in the hope that this would lead to a compromising situation.
Ale to se nepodařilo.
Relations with the Vatican and communists began to improve in the 1960s, with talks launched in 1963. One of the key points was what to do about Archbishop Beran. In 1965, Beran was appointed cardinal. The communists spelled out that they would allow him to go to Rome, but only if he never returned. Beran was at first unwilling to accept the deal, but the Vatican pointed out that it would at least allow the appointment of a new archbishop to better defend it. He flew to Rome on February 19, 1965, never to return to his homeland. Beran died on May 17, 1969. He was given the singular honour of being buried alongside previous popes in a crypt at St. Peter's.
That edition of Czechs in History by Chris Johnstone was first aired in December 2009. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a reround of ABC of Czech, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax.
Hello and welcome again to our new series of programs on the Czech language. Today I'm here with Vladimír Tax.
Hello.
Now, if you've ever come across a Czech text, you might have wondered what all the accent marks that look like a cross of French, Spanish and Swedish mean. Well, Czech uses the standard Latin alphabet but has three diacritical or accent marks which alter the pronunciation of certain letters. The short slanting line above vowels makes them longer. That means that they last about twice as long. Normal short vowels are
A, E, I, O, U.
So
A
with the little line becomes
A,
as in the word
mama
or mum.
E
becomes
E,
as in the word
leto
or summer, and so on. The little circle above the letter
U
has the same function as the line and makes it sound
U.
Only it is used inside or at the end of a word. The little V-shaped sign above consonants makes them softer, so
Z
becomes
Ž,
as in
život
or life.
S
turns into
Š,
as in
škola
or school.
C
changes into
Č,
as in
český
or Czech.
D
becomes
D. T
is altered to
T. N
turns into
Ň.
And, to save the best for last, the letter
R
becomes
Ř.
Now, R is a sound unique to the Czech language. Apparently, only one small South American native tribe uses the consonant. Expats living in Prague liked the sound so much, they opened a bar called just that, R. I spoke to R bartender Keith Kirchner, who told me why they've given the place such a weird name.
We named it the Erz Bar Cafe for a couple reasons. One was because we knew it would be annoying, but also we have we think it's a nice letter. We like the letter. It's got an irony to it. Czech people tend to remember it if they hear it because they've never seen it before, believe it or not. And for us, it says kind of that we're not just an expat place, that we're kind of like connected to the community in different ways.
But what do the non-Czech guests call the bar? It must be difficult for them to pronounce the name. Keith Kirchner again.
They can make some nice acronyms for your name, no matter what it is, and it's very hard to imagine they can make up too many easy ones with Erz. But some would say Arbar, some say Erz. Most of them actually are afraid to say it at all.
I put the same question to Andrew, a patron of Rzebar.
Rzebar over there. It's a new bar, and it's a new name, and it's unique to Czech Republic. Nobody in the whole of Czech Republic has a bar called Rzebar, and this bar is called Rzebar. But for most English speakers who don't know how to say Rze, they will say, we are going to our bar.
Finally, Andrew told me a few useful tips how a foreigner can master the tricky letter.
Je. It sounds like je, like French, like je m'appelle. But you have to roll the R like Spanish, so it's Spanish and French together, like je. It's necessary to learn the letter right away. If you don't say it, nobody will understand what you want to say. It's very confusing if you say something in Czech that's r, it should be je.
And let me give you one example of that. While
rada
means a piece of advice,
rada
means a row or a line. And that's it for today. Next, we'll be looking at the letter B, which stands for, you've guessed it, beer.
Until then, naschledanou, or goodbye.
Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax with ABC of Czech was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs are available online at www.radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12-12099, Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.